This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Shao Ik. In conjunction with Merdeka and Malaysia Day, we are featuring healthcare heroes, individuals and organizations on a mission to make healthcare accessible, especially to marginalized and vulnerable communities across Malaysia. One of these communities is definitely people living with HIV who continue to face a lot of barriers when it comes to getting tested, getting treatment and support. They continue to face a lot of stigma and discrimination even today. But at the same time, there are many grassroots, community-based and civil society organizations working to eliminate that stigma. One of those is the Sabah AIDS Awareness Group Association. And their founder and president, Dr. Zaitun Yahya, joins me on the show today to share more about the work that SAGA is doing in Sandakan, Sabah, in raising awareness of HIV and getting treatment to those who need it the most. Dr. Zaitun, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. How are you?
Hi, fine. Nice to have you.
Dr. Zaitun, actually first, right, because I think we don't really often speak a lot to people from both Sarawak and Sabah, and especially if we go beyond the capital cities of these states. So Sandakan, for instance, you know, the second biggest city in Sabah, perhaps people know about it for the Sepilo Orangutan Sanctuary, perhaps, you know, it's wildlife conservation. But paint us a picture of Sandakan as a city, the community there, the demographics, perhaps, of the population there.
I find Sandakan is, even though it's the second largest city in Sabah, I find that the people are still naive and a little bit, I would say, ignorant about the disease. And I would say, initially when we started SAGA, that was in year 2007, people are so afraid about HIV AIDS and they didn't want even to talk about it. Even when we do some awareness in the street, giving pamphlets and red ribbon, they were thrown away and they said they were run away from us, said they don't have any HIV AIDS. But after 5 to 6 years, we already create awareness among the people. And we noted they are willing to be with us and listen. And I find they are very curious and they wanted to know what is the disease. But I find the people in Sandakan are still afraid and very, they like to know, they are receptive with the disease, but they still like to remain silent about the disease. So whenever they face patients who are having AIDS or what, they remain to be not to discriminate these patients, but they would rather be still not to be in touch with the patients.
So can I say that they are willing to learn about HIV as a disease, but when it comes closer and perhaps more personal, closer to their circles, then it becomes more difficult for them to really embrace somebody who's living with HIV. Is that right?
Yeah. Stay strong in the community. So let's say if you are an employer and sometimes you don't want to accept people with HIV to work, so sometimes we have to, you know, to make them understand that they won't they won't get the disease, even though, I mean, they have workers with HIV, and some must start to open up and accept. Mm-hmm. But most of them are like to be remain silent and make it quite difficult for patients with HIV to work.
Maybe you can take us back to 2008 when you started the organization. What made you want to work in the area of supporting people with HIV and to start what was then known as Sandakan AIDS Support Group Association?
Okay. Initially, this HIV, patients are being treated in hospitals. And later on, is somewhere near 2007, our Kementerian Kesihatan started to decentralize the management of HIV. They allow Kementerian Kesihatan to manage cases, which are where any family medicine specialist in Kementerian Kesihatan have clinics they're able to treat HIV. The reason is because so people from the rural and very peripheral are able to be, to get the treatment accessible to the patients. So that's where I started to learn about managing HIV, and I started to have patients. So after 2 years having these patients, I noted that most of them come at late stage. And some of them, we didn't even able to help. They just died just after diagnosis. And I also encountered a lot of antenatal mothers who actually lost their spouse because of AIDS. And they have no job. They are so insecure, and they don't have any help. And they came to us, and I find that I have to do something for these patients. And that's the starting of our Sanakan AIDS Support Group Association.
So what kind of support did you provide in those days?
Okay, what I do is I did write write in to Malaysian AIDS Council, Malaysian AIDS Council, and ask for some grants where I can have a treatment adherence program for our patients, and we get some money to actually help our patients, with some money for them to come to the clinic to get the treatment. And that I find is the money that we got to help our patients are too little. So this is where we started to develop SHAPE after many years, which we started to have grants, and that's where we're able to help more patients.
And SHAPE is the Saga Health Access Program.
Yeah,
and that's basically financial assistance. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
Depending on the accessibility of data, I'm not sure, or at least your estimates. What is the HIV burden like in Sandakan in terms of people living with the disease?
Since 2007, first time I opened my clinic, I have my HIV service started in Klinik Kesihatan. Until now, we have about 400 cases already diagnosed. And currently we have about almost 300 still on follow-up. And most of our patients are on first line treatment. And I would say we reach out about at least about 2 to 3 patients per month, newly diagnosed patients, and also have transfer in patients.
And maybe this might be a good time to understand the different communities of people living with HIV in Sandakan. In that sense, who are they, right? Are they largely urban or mostly rural? Who are the key or at-risk populations?
We have most of our patients are quite young, ranging from age 20 years to 50 years. And I would say we have urban patients from urban, and we also have patients from peripherals. As far as Tongod, which is about Tongod, even Pitas, is about 300 kilometers away from our place. And there's no HIV clinic nearby them. So I would say most of our patients are actually from urban, but maybe there's a lot of patients in the rural, but it's underdiagnosed. So they are unable to go to the clinic, or maybe they are not sure what they have, and they don't even come to any health clinics to be screened. And if you ask me regarding the distribution, we have about 60% are male patients, and from the marginalized group, I would say 90% are through sexual transmission.
So, some people may say HIV treatment like the antiretrovirals, if they are available in Klinik Kesihatan, I'm sure they would be either free or heavily subsidized. Is that right?
It's free.
It's free. But yeah. Regardless, financial assistance is still important. Maybe you can help us understand what are the other financial burdens beside the cost of the pills itself?
Okay. I would say KKM is very supportive of HIV patients. They give treatment free. Even the testing, screening, everything are all provided. And treatment, I would say, years ago, it was very expensive, but now it's affordable. But still, for our patients, everything is free. The only thing that our patient need is actually because when they are sick, they can't work, so they lost their job, and they also have family to feed, and they don't have enough money. And I find they want to come to a clinic to get treatment, but sometimes they don't have the money to come to clinic. So that's why I find giving financial aid, you know, for their traveling, do help them to adhere to the treatment.
And that is what the SHIP Saga Health Access Program does, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
All right. We'll come back and explore more. We'll go for a quick break first. And I also like to find out, you know, some stories that you can share, perhaps, of challenges that Saga has faced, but also, you know, some stories of communities that you have built up the trust with and how you've helped them and increased not only awareness but also access to treatment. I'm speaking to Dr. Zaitun Yahya, founder and president of the Sabah AIDS Awareness Group Association, or SAGA, which is in conjunction with Malaysia Day and Merdeka in our Healthcare Heroes series. So we'll be right back on Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. Today I'm speaking via Zoom to Dr. Zaitun Yahya, founder and president of the Sabah AIDS Awareness Group Association, also known as SAGA. We are featuring SAGA as part of our Healthcare Heroes series in conjunction with Merdeka and Malaysia Day. So we have heard from Dr. Zaitun about how SAGA reaches out to marginalized, vulnerable communities in Sandakan, particularly in Sabah, to provide support when it comes to people living with HIV, financial support being a central part of the support you've provided, because many of the patients living with HIV, especially those in the peripheral or rural and remote areas, it could be as far as 300 kilometers away. They will face severe financial burden in terms of being able to go to the nearest healthcare facility. Even though HIV treatment provided by KKM in the clinic or hospitals is free, there are lots of other hidden financial burdens as well. Dr. Zaitun, what other services does SAGA provide?
First of all, we provide awareness. We provide awareness for positive patients, especially the vulnerable group, the women, and also the young couples. We have a rapport with them, and together with our staff in the clinic and also with our SAGA volunteers, we sit down and together to make them understand about the disease, about there's a chance for survival, there's a chance for having a happy life. So we talk about how to keep them safe, how to make sure they are adhere to treatment, and also how to have children which actually will not be infected. So how we can do that? So we teach them U equals to U, and they are more, how to say it, the families that where we approach, they are more open, they are more confident in life. And even we also bring them out to like Sepilo, we bring them to see the honey bear with their family, and we cheer them up, and we find that with a supportive environment like this, they are more happy. There is someone who cares for them. So this is one part of our SHIP program, where we actually wanted to have confidence in our positive patients. And at the same time, we also try to reach out the teenagers, those are the vulnerable groups where actually they are not sure about what is HIV, what are the high risk behaviors actually can lead them to HIV and all that. So we try to do a lot of activities which actually positive activities, like doing some contests, and then we do photography contests. We do a lot of jatigiri activities and all that. And I find that we can approach the youngsters easily, and we can convey messages through activities instead of giving lectures, because the young people, they don't like lectures. Yeah.
Can I ask, how was this different, let's say 12 years ago when you started Saga, in terms of the, you know, families, mothers, teenagers, in terms of them being able to feel like they had a connection to somebody? You know, if there weren't activities like what you are able to provide, what would they have been going through?
Most of them would self-isolate themselves. They won't mix around, and they only they stay in fear, and they don't take care of their family. They don't allow their kids to play around, to play with other people. So and I find after 10 years with them, you know, with the families that we approach and all that, whenever they come to a clinic, they feel so welcome, and also when they meet volunteers, they are more open to talk about their problems. And I find this is a good way how to give positive patients to have a sense of belonging. Yeah.
And it also has an impact in terms of preventing further transmission, right?
Yeah, right.
And you mentioned there could be a high rate of those who are underdiagnosed, especially in the more rural areas. What kind of efforts are you making to also increase awareness for testing and, you know, follow-up to treatment?
We have a lot of infographics, and we have a lot of messages sent by our KKM to the public, and we hope they do these messages to across them. And now I find that the youngsters, even though they stay in the rurals, I mean, they are still able to get all these messages. We hope they will be reached by these messages to go out to go for screening. Like Saga is hoping that we can do a lot of fundraising, and we have enough money and to go reach out in the poor. To reach out them in the rurals. Mm. The problem is that they are so far away, and we are unable to reach them by road. So I hope that I'm able to go there someday, and also I'll try to link with my other FMS friends in other districts, so we can actually do more activities with them.
Do you find that it will make a significant change when you can actually go to them and be part of the community rather than them seeing you just as a doctor in a clinic, right?
I find that being a doctor, just seeing patients in a clinic is not enough. You must really go down to their level and go and visit them and see what kind of problem they face, how they stay, their home and all that. I think with that and doing some activities with them, having picnics and gatherings, I think they are more open to talk about their problem. And I think we need more volunteers to help Saga. And I hope I will be able to encourage more volunteers to come and join us and reach out to them.
Mm. So who is behind Saga besides you? Who is part of the Saga team?
We have volunteers who are working in Saga, and at the same time, those who have been volunteers that come and go. So we have even old members who have been with us still, and they still keep in touch with us. So whenever we have any problems, we'll reach them and with the peer support. So let's say if we have any marginalized group need to be addressed, we'll ask our friends that already know us to approach them. So I think when you give peer-to-peer advice, you can reach out better. Yeah.
There's more trust, right?
Yes. Yeah, true. Mm.
So that means the volunteers are people from the HIV community itself.
We have a different peer group. We have the younger generation. And also we have positive patients, we have positive mothers, and who actually came to us and having HIV, having heart during their pregnancy, and they're able to have their offspring and their children negative. So we try to have our HIV mothers to motivate the young ones, the one who are actually diagnosed positive and pregnant, and to have confidence that they can have negative child.
I find it interesting. You've actually mentioned mothers quite a lot. It sounds like they are one of the strongest forces in your outreach, and then for them to then play the role as champions in the community. Is that right?
Yeah, we have. The first mother that we actually had in our clinic is already have a child, 11 years old, and so it's negative. So we use our experience. And also them, the rapport that we have with them, to give confidence to the young ones who just newly diagnosed to not to be afraid.
Yeah. You mentioned a little bit about stigma earlier, and you said that, you know, some instances that you had seen were where employers were afraid to hire people living with HIV. Let's talk a little bit about stigma within the community. How much has it changed, if at all? What's the impact if we do not address and reduce this kind of discrimination against people with HIV?
We keep on educating the public regarding about not to stigmatize our patients, our HIV patients. Most of them actually understand. But when it comes to when they are like their employers, especially like for example hotels, maybe some businesses that involve people, they are afraid people will have a negative impact to their business. So they don't want positive patients to work with them because it gave a different image. And sometimes they are afraid, even these patients, when they shake hands, they can actually give the disease to someone else, which actually is wrong. Even though we create awareness among them, but they still have that wrong myth about HIV. So I think, I hope whatever movies, dealing dramas, Malay dramas or what, whenever they mention about HIV AIDS, please don't show, like anything negative actually make people afraid.
Do you think that's a big source of the problem, that sort of wrong portrayals in the media?
Partially, I find. Yeah.
Interesting.
Because most of our community, they don't read much. So they like to listen, you know, to negative messages and all that. So I find having a negative portrait messages through dramas and all that, make it worsen.
Do you have good stories to share though, Dr. Zaitun, of families or individuals who, you know, you have seen their lives turn around because of support from SAGA, or that you've actually helped to reverse the kind of discrimination against them?
I have one couple who actually was diagnosed back in 2008. And she came to us because she was diagnosed when she was pregnant. And after that, we actually helped her and we gave her a heart. And she her child is already now 11 years old. And I went to their eldest daughter's wedding. And I find it's a big achievement that, you know, you develop this family kind of feeling. And I'm happy to be there. But the only thing is that most of our patients, they still don't want to disclose their status to other people. So it means they remain non-between couple, but not even other families know about that. So I find this is also happening to other families where they keep the secret. They don't tell even to their children. And I find this is something, how to say, like we just respect their decision. But they still hold the status to them, to themselves. So if we talk about discrimination, they rather be quiet about and remain silent about the status, and they don't want people to know. When I ask them, are you afraid for your employee to know. I said, no, I'd rather not to tell them. Do you think you will lose your job because of they know your status? He said, I don't think so, but I'd rather not to tell anyone. So most of our patients have that kind of feeling that they don't want other people to know.
Do you hope to see this change?
Yeah, I do. I hope that in Sabah, that most of our patients can be like those in Kuala Lumpur, where they are more open and they are able to disclose and share their experience, and they want to make more people to understand about the disease and to accept them in the community. So I hope that someday the community in Sabah will change. Yes.
What about you personally? Has it been difficult for you being this advocate for HIV? Have people around you, also sort of shunned you because of the work that you're doing?
In the beginning, through some grants that I get, I was able to meet a lot of stakeholders. I was able to meet the police department, Jahims, the church people, and then I do a lot of meetings with them and all that. So people start to know, understand about what Saga is doing, about the preventive work. So we reach out the marginalized group, we talk about condoms, we talk about safe sex and all that. I have some resistance at the beginning where people are asking me, why am I supporting the marginalized group? Why am I giving condoms to people? You know, am I promoting sex? And all that. I do have that kind of problem in the beginning. But when I said I'm also a family physician, a doctor, where I see patients, I see HIV patients, and I don't want more people to get. So my reason for doing this preventive work is because I want to protect more people, and I want to protect the women. And I don't want any children to get the disease. So from that kind of promotion to my community, I've been easily accepted about what I'm doing. And I find more people are start to be receptive about our NGO. And after 10 years of working, doing preventive work, I find that, with good knowledge, good support system, and we have very conducive environment in the clinic where enabling a community where people feel not difficult to come to a clinic. We have fast track and all that. I find the thing that I really have to help is to give financial aid, because they can't come to the clinic if they don't have money. So I find there's something that another chapter of that Saga has achieved.
What other kind of support does Saga need in order to expand that kind of assistance to the communities?
What I need is actually more youngsters who actually with a very good idea about how to reach out. So I need ideas from the youngsters to come and join us, join force, you know, to make our mass media more active so I can reach more people. You know, like now we have this TikTok and all that. So I need this kind of people who actually give some crazy ideas, but we can give better messages instead of we talk about stagnant infographic messages. So I think that will really help us about promoting what is safe sex, what is PMCT, prevention mother to child transmission, and we talk about healthy living, positive living, and all that. So I hope I can have more volunteers who can come and join me and join force and can reach out more.
What about funding?
I'm very happy at the moment. We have funding from Yayasan Patronas, and also have Sunway, where they give us some grants to help to give financial aids for our patients. And we not only give financial aid for HIV patients, we also give for other chronic patients. So whoever get financial aid from us is actually grants that we receive from this Yayasan.
Which is very important, and sustainability of the funds, right? To make sure that it doesn't run out one day and then you can't continue your program.
So at the same time, I think Saga also has to find other sources of income, and we cannot depend on them all the time. So we have to be doing more fundraising, and also, we hope that we get more support from even the government. Yeah.
And if people would like to find out more about how they can support Saga, whether it's volunteering, providing ideas, or even funding, how can they contact you?
We have our office in Malfour. Is have you been Senekan?
I have, but I'm not familiar with it.
It's in Malfour. We have our office, and I'm also working in Klinik Setan. And I'm hoping, let's say, if the young Samaritans, I mean the good Samaritans, who actually can help. You don't have to give a lot if you don't have. But what we want is actually like perhaps like adopting a family, you know, adopting a child, you know, at least give some money for schooling, schooling materials, you know, and at least give some confidence to them. So there's a part, the things that I'm thinking, how else can we help our patients, you know? And we talk about during the pandemic there, where our students have to study from home and they need to have laptops and all that. They can't because they don't have the money. So I'm thinking, you know, something that we can provide to our patients. So just more gifts, you know, that we can actually make them, more confidence. And I hope their children can someday be somebody and actually can take care of their parents. Yeah.
So I think a good starting point is online. There's your website. It's saga.org.my.
And from Facebook.
Your Facebook. So you can also access the Facebook and Instagram pages through Saga's website. And there's an email address to get in touch with you as well, right?
Alright, yeah.
Yeah, and you're doing such amazing work, just family by family, building up that foundation. So I do hope this message reaches more people who are keen to support. And finally, Dr. Zaitun, do you have a wish for Malaysia Day?
I would say Merdeka for everyone. And I hope that our HIV patients have will be free from fear. And I hope they can live like us and be accepted. And they don't feel self-isolated and this self-discrimination.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Zaitun. I've been speaking to Dr. Zaitun Yahya, founder and president of the Sabah AIDS Awareness Group Association based in Sandakan. This has been Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.